Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So far, the reading of God's word. So he's just told them in verses 3 through 6 that he prays for them joyfully because of the work that is begun and that is sure to be completed. And then he told them in verses 7 and 8 how he loves them with Jesus' own love for them. And so now he tells us what he prays for them out of love for them. And it turns out to be that he prays that they would love more. And there's some question here among pastors and others who comment on the passage. Do you mean love for God or love for others? And I think the answer is yes. All of their love. You cannot love God properly without loving others, because loving him means keeping his commandments. And the first great commandment is to love him, and the second great commandment is to love your neighbor. And the Christian great commandment is to love one another as Jesus has loved you. So, it's not surprising that the one who loves them with the love of Jesus, as he prays for them about the work that Jesus has started and that Jesus will complete at the day of Christ Jesus, would pray for them that they would have love, that is, verse 11, by Jesus Christ, the fruit of righteousness. So he prays that their love would grow. Well, what kind of love is this? It's not a nebulous, mushy thing. Because the love of Christ is not a nebulous, mushy thing. And it's Christ who is producing his love in believers. Now, it's a defined thing. And because it's defined, the way that it grows is by knowledge and all discernment. That love is a careful thing. Love is a righteous thing. Love makes choices. Love understands what is going on. And so as they love God, they approve of the things that bring God glory. As they love neighbors, they approve of the things that do their neighbors good as defined by God, because he's the one who defines what is good. And so if you want to love others better, what you need is knowledge and discernment. Thankfully, we know that we don't have to produce this knowledge and discernment ourselves. We know it in two different ways. One, the apostle's praying for it, which means there's someone who gives it to you. To whom do we pray, Ezekiel?
God.
We pray to God. He's the one who gives the knowledge. He's the one who gives the discernment that increases, improves, enriches our love. So that we are approve the things that are excellent and are pure and blameless. New King James says, sincere and without offense. But the more we grow in knowledge and discernment and right choices, approving the things that are excellent, the more we grow in being pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And that's the second time, isn't it? In this little chapter that we have seen that phrase. First time we saw it was in verse 6, where he was confident that the one who had started the good work in the Philippians would bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And so now he says, I'm praying for you that you will grow in this love and you grow in love by this knowledge and this discernment and these right choices, being pure and being blameless until the day of Christ. Now, it comes from God, and how does God give it to us? As fruit, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So God has decided that he will glorify himself by giving his Son for us, by giving his Son to us, not only that we would be forgiven in Christ, but that we would grow in love, that he would fill us with his fruit, the fruits of righteousness. So he prays that we will grow in Jesus or by Jesus, and that this will give God glory. So we should pray and work. Of course, the apostle wants to help them become more loving and to grow in knowledge and discernment. But he doesn't just write a letter that teaches them. He also prays for them. We should imitate this as well, both laboring in those means that God has given and praying that God would make those means fruitful, so that our love would grow continually, definitively, organically, by growing out of Jesus, and doxologically, which means giving praise to God. Father, we need our love to abound. And so we pray that you would help us in the study of your word, and that your word would take root, and your spirit would make it fruitful in us, applying Christ to us by it. But we realize, oh God, that it is your Spirit who must do it, and it is by Christ that the fruit comes. It is unto your praise that the fruit grows. And so we pray that you would help us not just to use and meditate upon the Word as if it is in us for the Word to be fruitful, but keep us faithful in calling upon your name and as well, praying for ourselves, praying for others, even as the apostle models for us here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.